Hi there, and welcome back to the Hitchhiker's Guide to ESG Investing. Today, we're going to talk about the language of ESG, what environmental, social, and governance investing is, how we think about each of those letters, the E, S, and G, and the importance of financial materiality when incorporating ESG factors into an investing strategy. I'm Jessica McHugh, Marketing and Communications Director here at Sage, and today I have with me Emma Harper and Andy Pareda, two of our ESG research analysts. Welcome, guys.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yes, thanks for having us.
So I'd like to start off this discussion talking about what ESG is and what it isn't. I personally sometimes use the term sustainable investing in hopes that it will resonate with people more easily. Sometimes we also hear the term socially responsible investing, but at Sage, we operate clearly in the realm of ESG investing. So if you guys can talk a little bit about what ESG investing is and how it compares to some of these other terms, such as sustainable investing and socially responsible investing.
Yeah, so thank you, Jessica. That's a really good discussion. And sustainable investing is kind of the idea that these companies that operate or governments that, you know, issue bonds, they have an overall kind of arching sort of mission to have the idea that, you know, our world needs to kind of operate in perpetuity. And to do that, you know, companies and governments have to be more sustainable in the overall process, doing things that are good for the environment, good for their constituents and their stakeholders. And so that's kind of an overall kind of umbrella of like what sustainable investing is. But then once we start boiling it down, there are some other types of investing that kind of fall in this umbrella, like impact investing, where you're trying to, you know, have a particular outcome, whether it's like a desired social goal of, say, I want to reduce poverty. That's kind of impact investing. And then there's also the social responsible investing that covers a area of like, I think, you know, investing in tobacco is bad, so I'm going to eliminate that from my portfolio.
Yeah, avoiding your sin stocks. That's kind of that SRI. So there's a lot of acronyms and different names that fall under this umbrella. And so distinguishing between them is important, and it's important for everybody to understand that there are differences underneath this umbrella, and you need to understand what you're investing in if you're investing in this, and Andy said, impact investing versus SRI, which is the socially responsible investing, versus ESG investing.
Yeah, absolutely, Emma. And I think so then once we kind of define that, that's kind of a good starting point. But then now ESG investing, now we threw those around. ESG investing is environmental, social, and governance. And that what that means is these are factors that we are looking at that are going to then be analyzed to potentially have what we're going to talk about a little later called financially material impact. So that ESG investing, that is the goal, is to look at these factors to have a decision useful financially material outcome. And it sometimes correlates with a desired social or environmental impact. But the main goal is to look at these factors and then have a positive investment return from it.
Right. So you have these environmental, social, and governance factors that you analyze and look at that are not traditionally analyzed in traditional financial analysis, but really provide color and understanding past traditional financial analysis about these companies.
Can you share with us what some of these ESG factors are?
Sure. I'll add a few examples for each category. In the environmental category, things that are financially material to a company are greenhouse gas emissions, water management, impacts of climate change, and pollution. The social category will include issues like human rights, labor standards, supply chain management, diversity policies, and customer privacy and data security. And finally, in the governance category, ESG investing would deal with matters like board structure and diversity associated with that, business ethics, management of the legal and regulatory environment, and political contributions.
Got it. And you brought up a good point. A lot of times the factors that we're looking at are not things that are reported on traditional financial statements or traditional financial analysis. There's a big component here that maybe makes Sage a little different, a little bit unique, and you guys just alluded to it a little bit. And, you know, that's how Sage incorporates ESG factors into portfolios. But how does Sage determine which ESG factors are relevant to a particular company or a particular sector? So you guys brought up this idea of financial materiality. Can you talk about that a little bit more and why that's an important crux of this whole ESG investing analysis?
Yeah, you have to look at each industry from a different kind of lens, and each industry has their own financial and material information. And I think a lot of companies out there have understood that investors are taking a greater look at this ESG information. And so in an effort to kind of satiate that hunger for more information, they're putting out a lot of nice to know information, a lot of fluff, a lot of extra information. Like I like to say, banking companies are putting out a lot about their recycling programs, which is all great, but it's really not going to impact the bottom line. And so for us as a pragmatic investor, I think we really focus on separating out the nice to know from the need to know, and understanding what extra information really helps us to understand what's going to impact the bottom line of the company and what's going to determine what is going to create a profitable company in the future, what's going to create a risk to profitability in the future. And so that's something that we want to separate out and understand, that a recycling program is nice to know, but governance is going to be much more important in terms of banking. So that's kind of where we focus, is understanding what is material per each industry to analyze these companies.
And Emma, if I might add, I think also one of the things that really makes Sage difference is a lot of people are looking at these from a kind of risk exposure factor, like Emma alluded to. But I think one of the things that Sage really feels important is to look at what we call the intentionality of a company. So I think that's one of the things that Sage spends a lot of time looking, and that sets us apart from a lot of our competitors.
Yeah, that's a great point, Andy. I think that's something that we really do focus on, intentionality going forward as well.
And so for individual companies, Sage can break down how they rank on an individual environmental, social, and governance basis. And we do this regularly with our highlights and holdings reports, which are one-page case studies of individual companies. So a really well-known company that started out as a single Seattle coffee shop in 1971 and has since expanded into 78 countries. It has around a $90 billion market cap and may provide many listeners their daily caffeine fix, and that's Starbucks. So tell me, Andy, I know that this was one that you worked on. Tell me about this case study on Starbucks. Which are the most important components from an ESG perspective, and, why is Starbucks considered an ESG leader?
Great question, Jessica. So Starbucks was a very interesting case study. We felt it, in one of our portfolio holdings, it's one that is well recognized by everybody. And I think Starbucks actually has some ESG, risk across both three of those metrics. And I think, though, sometimes with ESG things, we can see that sometimes controversies are actually a great way of exposing different risks. And so I think with Starbucks, in the news, we saw the issue that Starbucks dealt with from a social perspective, when they had those, when they had individuals that were, staying in the stores but not purchasing coffee, what were they, were they considered customers or not, right? And we saw a huge outlash from society and different media sources that, that was an issue that they had not fully rectified. And so I think that was a kind of an interesting one, is now one of the things that Starbucks did to kind of move forward, which we thought was great, was they basically defined a customer as anybody that is actually just sitting in the store and not necessarily always purchasing coffee on that, day-to-day basis. And so they helped manage their social risk by responding to that. But there also are some other environmental, factors that they have to deal with. As a, coffee company, they obviously have to deal with their supply chain. So sometimes it's also not just the company that they operate from, but the suppliers that they utilize, and that whole kind of ecosystem has a, environmental impact as well. And so there's a lot of great things to look at with Starbucks, but ultimately with any of these companies, kind of the heart of it is looking at governance, right? And how a company manages. I think governance really is something that we'll talk about a little later, but they work both to the E and the S, and that governance is how you manage both those. And there's a lot of things overall with a company that we have to start looking at the governance first, and seeing how they manage their company across the board, that I think is really interesting. And that, and it was for Starbucks, and it is for applicable to any company, really.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to ESG Investing. You can find us at sageadvisory.com, at Sage Advisory on Instagram, and on our Sage Advisory LinkedIn page. See you next time.
Sage Advisory Services is a registered investment advisor that provides investment management services for a variety of institutions and high net worth individuals. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended as investment advice or an offer or solicitation with respect to the purchase or sale of any security, strategy, or an investment product. Investors should make their own decisions on investment strategies based on their specific investment objectives and financial circumstances. All investments contain risk and may lose value. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. For additional information on Sage and its investment management services, please view our website at www.sageadvisory.com or refer to our form ADV, which is available upon request by calling 512-327-5530.